But we're talking about the Word of God, and we're on part two here. And I just want us to look at John chapter 1, and just going to walk through some of these verses. Is it working there, Joseph? Okay. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, this is the passage of Scripture that introduces us to the concept of the Word of God, the Logos in the Greek. And the idea here is you and I have the Word written, which is the Bible. So the Bible is the written Word. And then we have the Word living, which is Jesus, the living Word. And I think so often we don't truly understand the importance of that, because if we're going to be in Him, if we're going to abide in Him, we really need to understand this Logos, the Word written and the Word living. So that's where we're starting today as we talk about a man and the Word. And then if you look at this, these two, the Word written and the Word living, will agree 100% of the time. So when I say the Word says, I'm saying Jesus said, it's together. Now, we have to be a little careful here. We can't go too far and get to the place of what's called bibliolatry, where we begin to worship the Bible as God. But it is not worshiping the Bible as God to say that Jesus is consistent in what He tells us to do with what the Word tells us to do, because ultimately, Jesus, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit are the authors, we believe, of the Bible. So that there is 100% consistency between what the Word of God will tell you and what Jesus will tell you, and also 100% consistency with what the Spirit of God will lead you to do and what the Word of God says. So that brings us to this point. You don't have to wait for God the Holy Spirit to tell you to pray, because the Word of God already tells you to pray. You don't have to wait for the Holy Spirit to tell you to witness, because the Word of God already tells you to witness. So there are certain things we don't need to pray about, or we don't need to necessarily think about. Now, we may pray about their application, but we need to be living in a certain lifestyle without another Word of God, okay? Now, we are born again by the Word, and we are and equipped through the Word.
Oh, that's His.
Okay. Go ahead, man. If it looks good to you, eat it. We are born again by the Word, and we are equipped through the Word. Look at this. Verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even those who believe in His name, who were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So this Word becomes flesh, and we are born again by the Word, and then we're equipped through it. Now, each of us have been born again, 1 Peter says. And so I want us to look at this. The Word is the agent by which we're made new in Christ, and this is in Peter. And I think this is on your listing sheet. Yeah, yeah. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and enduring Word of God. So Peter just states it there for you in case you had any doubt that we are born again by the Word. And then in Timothy, we're equipped so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So the Word of God is the agent by which we're made new in Christ, and it's the agent by which we're equipped to grow and to mature in Christ. Now, if you want to have a life of service, then you got to know the Word, and what I wanted to talk about today is how to get a grip on the Word. And the best illustration I've ever seen about this is your hand, because you carry your hand with you unless you cut it off, which, you know, might happen to some of us, but in our and our use of saws. But look at your hand this morning, and I want you to think about it, how you get a grip on the Word. So I gotta use my hand to grip something, and if I'm going to grip the Word, these fingers have a meaning. So you think about your thumb, that's hearing the Word, okay? So I hear the Word when I go to church, or when I listen to a sermon on the internet or on a tape or whatever. Or Joey will show you there's a website, podcast, things you can get where you can, if you want to, you can have the Word, you know, hear someone reading the Word each morning over out loud to you. So faith comes from hearing, the Bible says, and hearing by the Word of Christ. So the thumb is hearing. Your index finger is illustrative of reading. So we hear the Word and then we read it. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near, the book of Revelation tells us. So I hear the Word, I read the Word. That helps me get a grip. But think about it. If you're only gripping with your thumb and your index finger, while you're able to pinch something, you don't have a real firm grasp of it yet, even though you've got a little bit of a grip. So you want to improve that grip. So your middle finger then, let's look at that, studying the Word. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the Word of truth. And that last phrase there, accurately handling the Word of truth, is important. If you're going to really want to be accurate with the Word, you've got to study it. And the difference between reading something and studying is basically the simple idea of when I study, I make notes. Okay, if I'm just reading it, I'm reading it. But when I want to study, I start making notes. And so that's the distinction. So we hear it, we read it, we study it. Now we've got, I don't know if you guys have watched the new Toy Story movie or that's out, The Claw. Okay, we hear, read, and study. We've got a claw working, but we're not yet got the firmest grasp we can have. So grasping it adequately, and I can tell you since I cut off these fingers here, these are important fingers. I used to not really realize how important these fingers are to grasping something and really getting a good grip of it, but they're very important. And so we want to talk about your ring finger. That would be memorizing. In memorizing your word, I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. Memorizing is really, really important because that is the beginning now of truly getting the word into me. I memorize it. Because if you remember, Jesus promises us that the Holy Spirit will teach us all truth and bring God's word into our remembrance. Help us remember. Well, this is improper grammar, but it communicates. I got to remember it before I can remember it. And memorization is how we remember it. So it's critically important that we do that. So after we memorize it, now to fully get a grasp of it, our small finger, our pinky finger, is meditation. Meditate. And Joshua 1:8 talks about this law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have success. Now, if you read the King James Version of the Bible, that's the only time the word success appears in the King James Version of the Bible, Joshua 1:8. And the way to success is tied directly to allowing God's word to not simply be in you, but to roll around in you. The concept of the Hebrew concept of meditation is contrary to what we call Eastern meditation. Hebrew meditation is directly related to the concept of rumination. Cows are ruminants, they chew the cud. I don't know, my father used to tell me when I would ask him about something that he let him think about it. Except he didn't say think about it. He said, let me roll it around. Okay. Well, that idea of having something in your head and rolling it around, that is meditating upon it. Now, many of us are our spouses at least, we're very familiar with meditation in a negative sense called worry. Worry is negative meditation, where you get something on your mind and it stays on your mind and you just think about it and think about it and just can't get it out of your mind. You keep rolling it around and around and around. That's called worry, okay? And that's negative meditation. We're talking here about the positive idea. You get a Bible verse in your mind and you roll it around and you chew it over and over and over and get every bit of truth you possibly can out of it before you move on. So that's what we wanted to talk about today, is how to get a grip on it. Next week, we're going to really delve down into the concepts of memorizing, meditating, and obeying and how they connect. And I'm going to give you some metaphors that'll help you think about that. And I really think it'll be worth your time. So that's it for today's huddle.